Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm John Ledyard from thedraftnetwork.com, along with Trevor Sikkema, also from thedraftnetwork.com. We are live here in Tampa Bay, Florida. Downtown Tampa? Is it safe? Can we say that?
It's downtown Tampa.
We're downtown. Which is not where the Shrine Game is, by the way.
No, correct.
It's very
correct.
Close.
Yes.
Might as well be.
Yes.
Feels like it to me, but what is it, half hour? Half hour we drive today?
Yeah, people don't realize that St. Pete and Tampa are two different cities. That's why it's funny that like Tampa Bay Rays play in St. Pete, but they're called the Tampa Bay Rays.
St. Pete Rays just doesn't really.
It really doesn't roll off the tongue.
Doesn't.
So instead,
we've got takeaways from today's Shrine practice, the first of the week. Very good. I thought it was a very interesting day of practice. I had a lot of observations.
Thought it was efficient. Very efficient day of practice. Thought we saw a lot. There were plenty of one-on-ones. Got some 7-on-7s, some 11-on-11s. And, first impressions, it's even, it's the same thing with game tape. It's not everything, but when you see a guy, and this doesn't just go for us as analysts, because we're not ultimately the ones picking these guys, but for the guys who have input on who's being selected, I think first impressions mean a lot, and that's why they get to meet them after practice, and you talk about that a little bit. But then how you perform on those opening days when it's like, hey, not a lot of coaching going on, it's almost like a pure talent thing. I think that these day ones actually go a long way. So I don't know who was standing out a bunch. You want to start with the East? East went first.
Yeah,
East was earlier in the day, so.
Terry Godwin was great, Georgia wide receiver.
I did think Godwin was good.
Yeah, 5'11", 185.
Do you think he had a better day than Lodge?
I think he was given more opportunities to make plays Lodge was. Yeah,
that is fair.
Godwin has run a little more of a diverse route tree at Georgia, which maybe aids him a little bit. And I thought he displayed that today. Very good route runner, full speed cuts, very little hesitation in his game. Caught the ball well outside his frame. Doesn't have amazing physical tools. I think he'll be a solid tester. I don't think he'll test poorly for sure. But I don't think he's an elite athlete, not elite size or length or anything like that. But just a good wide receiver. Similar, honestly, in a lot of ways to Malcolm Mitchell. I know another Georgia kid who came out. But a lot of those prototypes tend to be the same school to school a lot of the time because they look for the same type of guys. And so they are similar players. I think Godwin might be a tad more explosive out of his breaks, maybe a little more decisive as a route runner.
Then who?
Then Malcolm Mitchell, who came out of Georgia a couple years ago, who was good, but
Didn't Mitchell put up like freak numbers? Who am I thinking of?
No, I don't think he put up freak numbers.
Conley had the freak number.
Was a raw freak, yeah.
Yeah.
But Godwin is pretty polished. I think he kind of is what he is, but he can hit the ground running in the NFL.
I thought he was nice.
Yeah, he did a really good job.
I thought he was the second best wide receiver there today. The other guy's in the West.
Okay, on the West. Okay, I got you. I also have a favorite in the West team, but I don't know if it's the guy you do, so it'll be interesting to see who you say. Ryan Davis, who didn't run like any vertical routes really at all for Auburn.
Absolutely cooked Michael Jackson.
A vicious double move on Mikey Jackson.
The Michael Thomas stutter step on him.
Oh my gosh.
He didn't have to do him that dirty on day one. He really did didn't.
Like it was about as dirty as you can on day one especially. Yeah. It was vicious. Michael Jackson had a pretty good day, but you can just tell like when he has to flip his hips and change direction and stuff like that. He just has to hang on to you. He's a true press man guy if he's at corner still. And I just don't know that he's like a fluid enough to really stick with people. But he had some good reps. Like when he keeps you in front of him and he's able to be physical and kind of box you at the top of your route, I think he's all right. But the question is how much of that are they going to let you get away with in today's NFL? Like, but he chirps, and you know we like that.
No, it's good.
He's always been a little bit of a
chirper. That's the mold too, I think. With even guys like Michael Jackson here. I mean, we're even seeing with Marcus Peters. And I think Marcus Peters is obviously a better corner than Michael Jackson, but it's like Marcus Peters gets in trouble a lot. Like he gets a lot of flags on him. He gets burnt sometimes, but he plays that style of defense, that press man, that one-on-one where don't put up with him making some mistakes because he might go up and shut somebody down on another rep. It's just like he's got that ability just because of his style. And so I do think that the Michael Jackson will probably get the benefit of the doubt on some struggles. Like he had a couple, but I agree with you. I think for the most part he had a good day. But even when he struggles, I think he might get the benefit of the doubt just because teams in the NFL are going to like the style that he has and the ability to play the more aggressive style of defense.
Right. I think you're not going to hear us have many observations on a lot of the running backs and some of the linebackers too, but especially the running backs. Like in my opinion, at all-star games and events, there just is not a lot of glean from running backs.
It's hard. It's such a chemistry game with the O-line, yeah. and the O-line doesn't have any chemistry with themselves.
You're rarely doing full bore tackling or yeah, full speed running, running drills. All that kind of stuff. Like,
dudes aren't trying to get hurt.
Yeah, dudes aren't trying to tackle you. You can't tell their contact balance or anything like that. You could see some athletic traits here and there, but mainly pass protection and receiving, and we didn't really see the running backs do any of that today.
I thought Virginia's Jordan Ellis is the best running back from the East group, although it's not like I didn't like have him highlighted as one of my top dudes, but I would just say, I guess he would have been my top guy.
I would say Jordan Tiamu did not stand out as much as I hoped he would, probably. I thought that he would stand out more significantly.
I thought that he was clearly the best quarterback, though.
I think he was, yeah.
I think I might have been a little bit more higher than you on his day.
You probably saw more than I did, because I did watch O-line, D-line 1v1.
That's fair. Okay, then I did watch a little. I probably watched a little bit more of the corners.
And he was all right.
And the wide receivers one-on-one. He had a couple, nice routes, that he hit.
Yeah, right. Okay. All right, that makes me feel better then, because I was pretty decent.
He was clearly the best quarterback for the East. Okay, I'll just say that.
That's huge. That's good. Other wide receiver, other players that stood out really throughout the day, the East offensive line is clearly better than the West offensive line. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Tyler Jones is very interesting, NC State kid. I know pretty much every – I talked to a lot of people there, actually, that liked Tyler Jones. Outside zone guy, smaller guard, 6'2", 300. You'll think of some of the guys last year. I think who the right guard for – his name is escaping me right now. Tony Jones or something for NC State last year. Bigger, probably better put together than Jones was, but still a guy that's going to be a smaller guard. And
I had such a crush on Brian Allen last year at the Shrine Game, the Michigan State Center, just because he was working everybody, and I thought maybe he'd be something.
He made a team, I think, and wasn't he like a fourth-round pick?
I thought so. Yeah. No, he was. It was funny because you're talking about a small interior guy, and I had a big crush on one last year, so maybe he'll be my guy this year.
I didn't think really any of the other interior offensive linemen stood out. Bunchy Stallings did a couple all right reps, but – you know, Nick Allegretti is interesting. Man, he is tiny for an offense. Like, he's listed 6'4", 315. No chance he's 6'4", 315. But, I'm telling you what, he did some work on some of those drills. He's tough. He reminds me of B.J. Finney, who plays for Steelers now from Kansas State. Probably goes undrafted like Finney did, but scrappy and technical and small, but he
got
strong.
Kevin Wilkins from Rutgers put him on an absolute highlight film.
Allegretti?
Yes. That was the one where I show you the clip of it, and we have it up on Twitter where he basically, pushes the shoulder, slaps the hands away, gets a swim move, gone. Like, push, pulled, done. Like, out. And Allegretti's basically, sitting there staring at air, what the hell just happened? That was the best one-on-one rep I saw any defensive lineman all day. And he whooped up on Allegretti, so it's just funny that you bring him up. But I hope for his sake he had a good rest of the day.
Yeah. You're basically looking for traits, right, with these guys. You know, traits are guys that are technical enough to be long-time backups. You're not going to find, for sure starters at the Shrine Game on the offensive line. But Ole Udoa from Elon, we talked about him a little bit yesterday. I thought he looked the part and moved really, really well today. Some things he'll need to clean up. But he and Joshua Miles from Morgan State, sometimes you don't know about the small school guys, they have unbelievable frames, but also filled out. You know, it's not like they're just lanky guys or whatever. Mm-hmm. They're pro-ready looking bodies. They just need a lot of technical work. So they're probably the two interesting guys. Not a great day for Martez Ivy or Tyree St. Louis, the bigger,
I didn't really see that. I didn't really see them do a lot, but
yeah. You can tell Ivy's going to get the bad body talk from NFL teams, just a softball. You know, he's going to need to work on, I think, polishing up his frame a little bit. But of the tight end groups, honestly, I have not seen anyone stand out at all in that group. So we'll just skip right over them. We talked about Lodge a little bit. He didn't get many good balls really throughout the day. On the defensive side of things for the East team, Randall.
Hold on. Somebody, I remember just for Lodge because you said that, there was a rep where Lodge beat Jackson off press, and he didn't get the ball thrown his way because there was pressure on the quarterback. He just didn't get to see Lodge. And he had Jackson beat by, two steps, and somebody, commented on the clip and was like, that's, classic, trail technique or something. Yeah. And I'm like, bud.
Yeah, that's getting beat technique.
That's getting beat technique. If he throws that ball in front of
– 1v1s?
No, this is an 11-on-11. And he's got like two steps on him. And somebody's like, that's classic textbook or trail technique. And I'm like, bud, that was good what you just said. That's getting beat technique. It was. He gets that ball, he scores a touchdown. But
Miami fan.
I just thought that was really funny. I was like, trail technique, brother. That worked.
Dalvin Randall is like one of those guys that's such an interesting study because he's smart, he's vocal, he's been a leader at Temple, like very much a guy they rave about in that building.
Mm-hmm.
His name has been slid into mock drafts in the first round early in the process, like before the season even started, really. You would see that. I personally just don't know if he's athletic enough to play deep, but can he play around the box? Today he had a nice rep in man coverage. He sniffed out a tunnel screen, and the last play of practice on Lodge actually came up, you know, gave him a little pop. And can he tackle well enough? I just don't know, like, he's a good college football player, but does he have enough traits to translate? That's, like, my big thing with Dalvin Randall that I still
wonder. Is it, like, ceilings that you haven't seen, or is it, like, consistency with the ceilings?
I think maybe a little bit of both, but last year it was tackling. Like he was also had like six injuries last year he was playing through. Mm. This year he was healthy, and I think he played better for sure. His ability to make great plays on the ball, I just don't know if his athletic traits will ever get him there in the NFL if he's playing deep. But
while we're talking DBs, I gotta talk about Jimmy Moreland.
Yes, from tell him the Jimmy Moreland story.
So Jimmy Moreland is a corner from James Madison. He is listed at 5'10", 175, and I mean, If we get the official measurements and he's like 5'9", I'm not shocked. Like, the dude can fit in your pocket, if you would say. But he is so quick twitch. Mm-hmm. He can put his foot in the ground and immediately be going to like 4.4 speed in the other direction, like immediately. And so also he translates that into explosiveness and his vertical ability. I saw him. He got the very first interception of the day. He played a couple of guys really nice. I mean, he played DeMarcus Lodge really nice in a one-on-one route, but like Lodge is just longer than him, so he threw the ball up and he caught it. And he even got physical with him, so he was good. But anyways, so after practice, I thought Moreland had a great day. And after practice, it kind of turns into a free-for-all of scouts and media people to go up to anybody and blah, blah, blah. And Moreland was sitting there with his scout and with his agent, and he's just like, man, if those scouts come up and talk to me, I don't know what to tell you. They're blind. They can't see anything because I was about it today. And I just like, I loved it. He's got so much confidence about him. And so he's a smaller dude. He's a feisty dude. I think he's going to be like a package player in the NFL. He can't be anything else. But man, this is a dude that I would draft.
He's going to be Trevor Sikkema 101 on Trevor Sikkema's board, I feel.
Yeah, he's fun, man.
Didn't really notice much from the other DBs today. Isaiah Wharton got hurt at one point, but I think he ended up walking off.
I think
he was
okay.
Yeah,
I watched that injury happen.
He wiped out on the he slid on
he
the
did,
like,
and he
hard
like
surface.
He kind of like tweaked his hammy right before he took like that step onto that concrete, and then he slipped on the concrete, and so he got up and walked off under his own power, which is good. But I mean, he immediately took his pads and his helmet off, so he didn't play. That was early in the practice, so we didn't really get to see any of him at all.
My favorite player from the East team during practice, two guys actually, Malik Carney, who plays some off ball and some on the edge for North Carolina, listed 6'3", 250. He might be a little bit lighter than that, but moves on top of moves, got a little bend to him, put up good numbers. Definitely excited to get to his tape and watch him. And Matthew Betts, this Laval kid, this Canadian kid, man.
Got a thing for
like,
him.
It's, so he weighed in today, almost 6'3", 258. That was his weigh in today.
Allegedly.
Alleged fact.
I was not at
alleged
the
fact.
Scale myself.
I have no idea how this man is 258 pounds because I
bone
stood
density.
Next to him after practice. I was like, there
bone
no
density.
Way.
Can't teach it.
I guess maybe that's
can't
it.
Teach calcium.
We'll just go with that explanation because he has heavy bones. Let's put it that way.
That's what I'm saying.
Very dense, heavy bones. And so whatever the reason is, this guy just tears up. I don't. Like, do I wonder if he got bumped to Senior Bowl, would he get shut down? I mean, you stand next to him, and it's no joke. I've never seen an NFL player that looks like him. So, like, that's the first, like, shred of doubt in my
mind.
That's
not good.
Yeah, that's not great. He also looks like he's, like, 35, 40 years old. But when he gets out on the field, he was twitched up today. All kinds of pass rush moves.
Okay.
He embarrassed people. Like, he had better moves than anybody else here. I mean, he knew what he was doing.
I believe that just because nobody else had any moves.
Carney had some moves. I mean,
yeah, but he's coming from the linebacker
Brailford,
spot.
This was a better edge group than the other group. Brailford had some good moments.
Yeah, right.
Chris Brailford Slayton
had,
is continuing.
Brailford
to be
had
impressive.
A lot of people around him. A lot of scouts were talking to him afterwards.
Did not see much from Michael Dogby. Did not see much from Ricky Walker. Actually, saw Ricky Walker. Was not impressive. He's small, too.
My two defensive dudes that I would name just before we flip over to the west side, the Akron linebacker, Ulysses Gilbert III. One, incredible name. Two, he had his shorts hiked up like to just show off all the quad muscle, okay? So he already power was winning move. The aesthetic there. And there were a couple of reps where he was flying right through the offensive line, cutting through chaos, making tackles right at the line of scrimmage in the backfield, and he just popped out to me. That's all. I only saw a couple of good reps from him because I was trying to focus
looking on at the thighs.
A lot of different things. Yeah, yeah, you know, mesmerized. But he definitely popped out to me on a couple of plays there. And then I mentioned him earlier, but Kevin Wilkins, a defensive tackle from Rutgers, he put together. Again, you know, I didn't see a ton of him, but on the reps that I watched, yeah, there were a couple where he was caught on some blocks and wasn't able to get off of it and couldn't shed it. But man, he's got a good first step, and when he gets that first step and combines it with some fast hands, they just couldn't even touch him. They couldn't get a hold of him, and he was by them making tackles in the backfield there too. So those would be my two guys.
You know who balled out today for the East team?
The East
long
team.
Snapper from Northern Colorado, Jacob Bobbenmoyer. Isn't that the most perfect long Bobbenmoyer? Snapper name? Bobbenmoyer?
Yeah, I guess.
Come on.
Bobbenmoyer is a good
name.
Explain
to me how you get a long snapper from Northern Colorado. Like, how do you scout that? How are you, like, looking through all these teams? What's Northern Colorado? Like, they FCS? I don't think they're not D1. I don't think they're D1.
No.
So maybe they might be D2. I don't even know. But the point is, how do you like all these long snappers out there, right, in D1? And Jacob Bobbenmoyer? From Northern Colorado? Like, explain to me the process.
Gotta give him the invite.
Like, this guy, you just see him like, that's a long snapper right there. Bobbenmoyer? Are you kidding me?
A rich history. Just, the Bobbenmoyer lineage of long snapping.
Feels like you had to have, like, three relatives that played in the NFL, hey, like, to get to this. Like, bro, how do you find Jacob Bobbenmoyer, the long snapper.
That's a good point, though.
From Northern. I don't know.
It's a very funny point.
I would love to hear that process. And the other long snapper is Chris Wilkerson from Stephen F. Austin State. Like, are they better long snappers than Power 5 guys? Like, I don't know. I mean, to me, they all look the same. I don't know. Like,
they just snap.
Anyway.
They're just snapping.
Yeah, complete sidebar, but really just weird.
It needed to be said.
It had to be said. It really felt like it. It was burning in my soul during practice. The West team.
Yes.
Okay, Easton Stick got all this hype, and let me just tell you right now, and I don't care what anybody else out there says, because if they watch practice, they'll agree with me. If they actually watched, Easton Stick was the worst quarterback of any of the six today. I have no preconceived thought about Easton Stick.
I didn't think he was the worst of the six.
Who do you think was the worst? Blau? Cornelius?
Yeah, I mean, Blau. Like, if they put one extra guy on the
blitz, I didn't see anybody Blau make as many bad throws as Stick. He had weight, like negative throws, like in the dirt, ball fall out of his hand. He fumbled a snap. He threw the wrong route a couple times in one-on-ones. I mean, he was terrible. Like, I'm not even going to mince words. He was terrible.
Wasn't a great first
today.
Was not a great first
today. Right. It's one practice. I have seen a little bit of him live. I didn't understand the hype, but I wasn't like I scouted him and I think he's terrible. Like, it wasn't my position coming in. I was very open to like this Easton Stick hype matching, you know, but it did not. He was very disappointing. Marcus McMarion was okay. I had very low expectations.
Better than I thought he was.
Yeah, exactly.
Brett Rippin was awesome.
Right. Brett Rippin was awesome,
yeah. I thought.
He's clearly best quarterback here. I know he got picked off the one time, but really every other throw was really good. Team session, zipping in between zones, quick processing.
Yep.
Got the ball out. Stick didn't throw with any anticipation at all. He was waiting, holding the ball. Everybody was clipping, oh, he threw this one to the flat. Yeah, he held the ball for like 5 seconds. He'd have been sacked in a real game. Like. Mm-hmm. You know, I loved what I saw from Rippin today.
I thought Rippin's main target on the day, Keyshawn Johnson, who was a wide receiver from Fresno State. Mm-hmm. I thought he had the best day of any wide receiver. I did.
Did you?
Yep.
I think Cody Thompson from Toledo.
You were telling me about that, and yes. Admittedly, I did not see nearly as many reps of Thompson as I saw of Johnson. Mm-hmm. But
Johnson was good.
I thought Johnson had a fantastic day.
Yeah, he did. John Duhart caught the ball well too.
Duhart.
He is Scott Reynolds over Peter Report, mm-hmm. your boss, he said to me during practice, he felt like John Duhart reminded him of stylistically and like build wise of Juju Smith-Schuster. Not that he would be as productive or like as good as Smith-Schuster's become or whatever, but like I could see that in the movement skill and some of like the ball skills and the way he caught it and everything. Like he described him as a, like a poor man's Juju Smith-Schuster, which like I think as a stylistic comparison makes some sense, you know.
I think all three running backs from the West side are better than all three of the East running backs.
Wait, I thought you said Jordan Ellis is he in the West team?
No. I mean, I thought Jordan Ellis was the best from the East, but on the West, you got Nick Brosset, you got Darren Hall, and you got Divine Azigbo.
From what I've seen of them, I would tend to agree with you for sure. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
They were all better.
Yeah. I did think Azigbo looked kind of slow today, but I don't know. Maybe he'll grow on me.
Darren Hall had the best day, too.
Darren Hall got big praise from the coaches at one point.
Yeah.
They were like, find the cutback. Yes, you found it. They were like pumped that he found it. They were like, that's right. That's right. They were like all fired up for Darren Hall. Yeah, he had a good day. And he looks the part. 5'11", 225.
Definitely
not looks. Not bad weight.
Definitely looks good.
And he did a great job picking the right pit helmet to use. That was clutch, too. Some of these guys come up here.
You don't like the blue
one? No, this was like the dark blue.
Yeah, but you don't like the other blue one?
No.
Like the light blue one with the light yellow?
It's fine, but this was the best one, I felt. Like the matte, the one that he has now?
No, it's a fine helmet. Avonte Maddox had the throwback pit one last year, and that's propelled him to being a starting quarterback for the defending Super Bowl champions.
I think injuries may have propelled him. But
nope, the helmet.
But I like Cole Helmut choice. It's one of these guys. Who was it? It was one of these freaking long snappers, wasn't it? Or no, the punter. One of these punters or something. They chose like the worst helmet for the school. Now I have to find who it was. I forget which one of these specialists chose. Like, might have been Matthew Gay from Utah. I think he just made a terrible Utah helmet choice. I forget, but anyway, sidebar there. But I think honestly, the players. The thing that stood out to me the most about the West team, offensive line is horrendous, like terrible. I mean,
I didn't. Brian I wasn't over
Wallace
there for a lot.
Got lit up today. Leonard Bonner got laid into by coaches twice. I think Daniel Wise, who we'll talk about in a second, was beating up O'Shea Dugas. Ryan Pope is Ryan Pope had some moments in one-on-ones, I guess, but
he got a lot of scouts around
leggy.
Him at practice. Though.
Yeah, he did. He's leggy.
A lot of them.
He's really.
What does leggy mean?
He just moves really herky jerky, unathletic, off balance all the time.
Okay. You got to explain it.
Leaning into blocks. Yeah, I don't even know if that's a scout term. I may just.
Hey, look, you did a good job there. I believe you. I believed you. Leggy.
I don't know, man. He's like too tall and can't bend. 6'7", 315.
Never a good combo.
Yeah, it's not great.
Ask Sean Oakman.
That's true.
Too tall, can't bend.
He was the epitome of too tall, can't bend.
If Sean Oakman would have gone in the draft before, where do you think he would have gone? Because remember
His stuff off the field.
Remember he went back to school because he wanted to be the number one overall pick.
Right. Well, he would have never gone through tests. Testing would have killed him. He was horrible at testing.
Yeah, that's true.
That probably would have hurt him. Yeah, but he probably would have got drafted.
I just
whereas by the time he got drafted, he had all kinds of stuff going on. Also, Brody Oliver, you know? He didn't look totally out of place.
Hey.
Do I think he plays in the league? No.
Send him on a nine route.
But
nine routes and jump balls.
He ran some nice post routes, caught the ball while outside
nines
his frame.
Nines and jumps.
Yeah. He's an interesting player. He's definitely not 6'3", 210. I don't know who the heck wrote that. How do you convince anyone that Brody Oliver is 6'3", 210? Like, they put this on the roster.
I think he's 6'4", 225.
I think he's 5'11",
no,
190.
Shut up.
He's... At most, he's 6 foot.
Get out of here.
No way is he 6'3". You see him today in practice? Oh, my. That's a small guy.
I'm going to stand next to him.
Go ahead.
Because I'm 5'11". And if he's anywhere near my eye level, I'm just going to look right at him.
Take a picture of his eyes.
You liar.
Whatever his eyes are in relation to
you. You liar.
Just be like, can I get this shot and just see what he says. But no, he played pretty well today, actually. He was decent today. I don't know if the traits are there, but I was real excited to see him play and see if he looked out of place. Defensively, I thought this was funny. Total sidebar, just a funny story from the day. The coaches, when they were going through stretching, were like, clap between every stretch. And like, there's a lot going through these guys' minds, I'm sure. So they didn't all register. So then they did the stretch and like half the group clapped and it was kind of like offbeat. And Donnie Lewis, the Tulane corner, like, keep in mind, these guys like got there today or last night or whatever. They don't like know anybody. Like, he was like, hey, coach said to clap between every stretch. He like called him out. Like it was leader. Like, okay,
natural
that next
leader.
Clap was good. Yeah. So like,
natural
teams
leader.
Take notice of that kind of
oh,
stuff.
Oh, totally. Though. Yes,
that,
they do.
That alpha stuff. They want that alpha type
that
personality.
That is some Hollywood bullshit mm-hmm. that every coach just eats alive because right. they think they're the next Denzel Washington. And remember the Titans.
Look at him. Look at him. Look at him yelling at these players.
Look, it's intangible. Can't, speaking of yelling at people he doesn't even know, can't teach it.
Can't teach that take charge authority. But the player that was like totally
he's yelling
the opposite.
At people in a Wendy's when he's sitting in line. People are like, all right, this is too far now.
Look at him trying to get the most out of those employees at Wendy's. Just really able to capitalize on all his teammates' traits. But a totally different disposition was BJ Blunt. Like, your type of dude, man. Like, laid back, dancing before practice, singing. He was rapping to the music. Like, but all, like, energetic as heck during practice. Like, flying around, flying up to the line of scrimmage.
Love him.
You know, made a play in the backfield. Was athletic, dropping back into coverage. Just looked traitsy. You know, he's 6'1", 220 for a linebacker. It's a little bit small, so I got to see a lot more from him. But looked like kind of an overhang type defender. May see some man coverage opportunities if he shows that he can do that, but an intriguing player based on today's practice for sure. Who else stood out today?
Dakota Dixon had the pick of the day.
He did. He had a great leaping pick.
Fantastic.
Also looked a little bigger than 5'10", I thought, but I don't know.
He looked thick.
He's built.
He is built.
He is built, yeah. Probably one of the guys I can't wait to get to is Marcus Jones from Angelo State. This was not a good pass rushing group. The other group is way better, the East roster, but he was the guy off the edge that really did something for me. Like he long arm moves and a little speed bend. These tackles are horrible, so I take it all with a grain of salt. But I am excited to see. He listed 6'3", 260. I don't think he's that heavy, but he's still got pretty decent size.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really know how to judge the D-line guys because, like, Dalen Mack, I thought had a good day.
He was awesome.
Daniel Wise, basically unblockable. I thought Armon Watts had some really nice reps.
He did.
And, like,
Joel Van Pelt got smashed. The Calgary kid just absolutely wrecked all day.
I mean,
he got
can't play.
He
can't play.
Yeah, he's like a 6'4", 260-pound guy that's like an interior guy but can't really play on the interior and doesn't have edge traits.
At one point, didn't one of the coaches basically just be like, where did you play ball? And yeah. He's like, Calgary. And he's like, oh.
Okay, we understand now. But yeah, it was bad, which was funny because Betts, the other kid, was awesome. So.
Right.
But, yeah, you could tell the clear difference there. Derek Roberson, also the same Houston State kid. I want to see more of him, but he definitely didn't have a great day, I thought, pretty much across the board. Jordan Wyatt with Southern Methodist kid. He got owned by Ronquavion Tarver, the Utah State wideout, the big guy.
What a name.
What a Hall of Fame name.
Ronquavion.
I told Kyle, I was like, there's always a couple players every year at the Shrine Game that you're just like, that's definitely a fake name. And
Ronquavion
Tarver.
Tarver.
And I didn't even mess up his name. That's how beautiful it is. What a beautiful name. I'm going to tell him.
It's literally spelled exactly how you think it's spelled.
Ronquavion Tarver. Unbelievable. Anyway, that defensive line group looked awesome for the West team, the interior guys. But who even – I mean, the opponents were so bad. And it'll be good to see him go up against in the game, go up against at least a little bit of a better group. I mean – all in all, there's definitely some talent here. I think at the end of the week, one of the things we'll do on this podcast is we'll go through and we'll say, here's the guys that can play. Like that we
Yeah,
think.
We'll
like,
know.
There's
we'll
will
know.
Be like 10 names that were like top 4-round guys, I think, maybe, that have a chance at it. Maybe less than 10. But, you know, and then
top
there'll be other guys.
Top
4 rounds? Yeah, the top 4 rounds of the draft. There'll be like 10 names that could go off the board in the top 4 rounds of the draft.
Wow, okay.
Those are like the rounds I consider like
okay.
You have a great chance of making the roster after year one.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Okay.
When you say.
All right, yeah. That's
very
fair.
Few 4th-rounders get cut. You'll see a couple 5ths, but. So we'll identify
shout out Jeremy
those guys
McNichols.
Kind of. What's that?
I said shout out Jeremy McNichols. 5th-round pick got cut.
Right, yeah, that's true. Dorian Grant was a 4th-round pick, got cut from the Steelers.
Listen, when you pick bad players.
Yeah, can't help it.
You got to cut them.
Can't help it, sir. One thing I wanted to say, I also wanted to add that Daniel Wise was the best player at the Shrine Game today.
I didn't even see enough of him, but I
believe player of the day was Daniel Wise. Who was your player of the day? If you're going to give it to one that you saw the most of that you thought
oh, wow.
was your player of the day.
Because
Daniel Wise for me was
it might be Keyshawn Johnson.
Yeah, you like Keyshawn. You did.
Whether it was in the warm-up drills or when they were running routes against air or even when he was doing like punt gunner stuff and doing kick return stuff, and like I just thought he was, I thought he was head and shoulders smoother than everybody else, had a step above in his athleticism. He just knew what he was doing more. I thought he was already pretty comfortable with this event, so I thought, yeah, I guess he would probably be my standout guy on the day.
Interesting. Well, I'm sure we'll have lots of great discussions as the week kind of unfolds. So hopefully, as the practices show us more and more. Tomorrow, we'll also talk a little bit about the underclassmen group. There's 132 names on our tracker right now. There's always a couple guys, like Kendall Sheffield hasn't even declared. He's on the Exos like training for the combine list, but he hasn't actually declared for the draft.
Does he know he has to do this?
He has actually declared for the draft, but he hasn't he hasn't said anything.
Okay. Should we
tweet at him?
DM him and be like, hey buddy, brother,
say something. Even if it's just like Kyler Murray, I am entering the draft.
I am entering the NFL draft.
What an OG way to do it. My gosh. Make money, young man. But yeah, it was a good first day of practice, no doubt about it. We'll have some more updates, obviously, as the next couple of days unfold. But there's so much to talk about. We're going to carry right over into Shrine Week. Toward the end of the week, we'll start taking a look at the Shrine Game rosters as well. Get with Kyle and Joe, get a super show out to you guys as well. They're currently recording in the room next to us. Their Draft Dudes podcast with their thoughts and observations from practice. Go over and check out the Draft Dudes podcast. Also, check out the Draft Network. We have tons of Shrine Game content from today. I'm telling you guys, we will identify the players that have a chance at making the NFL roster, and we will write about them, and you guys can be on to some of these sleepers before other people are. Guys like Betts and Marcus Jones from Angelo State, and you know, these are the guys. Come on and check out these guys. Like, everybody's like, oh, the Shrine Game, like, who even cares? But like, no, like, I'm telling you, there are good players here at the Shrine Game. Most of them aren't, and we'll tell you, like, who can't play in the league. Like we said today, there are a couple guys, like, just take them off your board. Just don't even worry about them. You know, we'll be honest with you about that. I'm not trying to say this is as good as the Senior Bowl, but there are good players at the Shrine Game. There's players that make an impact in the NFL every year. Look at Philip Lindsay, you know. So we have guys like that that are here that make this event really fun to watch, because it's about identifying those couple guys. It makes it challenging, but it also makes it fun, and we definitely want you guys along for that ride with us. So let us know what you think of the content. Let us know if you have questions about a player. Hit us up on Twitter at Ledyard NFL Draft, LEDYARD NFL Draft, and at Tampa Bay Trey, TRE. Let us know players that you want us to check out during the day. We'll try and get eyes on them and let you know how they're playing. So until next time, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.